our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, our hope of glory. Once again we bow our heads before Thee this evening, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. We worship You, Father, Son, and the Blessed Spirit. Now may You bless us with Thy voice, with Thy word. We thank You for the great testimony and the sharing of Thy word we just heard from Reverend Peter Clemens. We pray, Lord, that Your grace may be with him. Sustain him according to Thy good will. May You continue to use him and his family. We pray that Your voice may come to us as a comfort, even as a rebuke, just as You will. We yield ourselves that You may work through Thy Holy Spirit and through Thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 39. How frail is man? That's the topic. Let me begin by reading the first three verses. If the Lord permits, we will go through all the 13 verses. Psalm 39, verses 1, 2, 3. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Just to get a fuller understanding of the context, may I also read verses 4 and 5. Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, Thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before Thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. The psalmist David was in deep trouble. He wrote this psalm at a time when he realized he is a weak man and all of his strength will not assure him much time in this world. With all that he has, with all that he has achieved, with all as he has gathered, he can't even think of living another day. This has caused him to be silent. In fact, he forced the silence upon himself. Silence is not something that people prefer. We all like to talk. If we don't talk, we would like others to talk. If you are on the phone, you start to talk to somebody, if you don't hear any response on the other side, you will say, hello, are you there? Why is it you're not responding? Hello, hello. You don't like silence, do you? No, you don't. Because God created us as creatures who can communicate. And we are not only to communicate with one another, we are also to communicate with God through prayer. Now, let's say we are in a time of prayer. We have to be talking. If you are silent for too long, you get distracted in your prayer. Your thoughts will run away from being in a prayerful mood. You will think about your own things. At least it's my experience. I prefer to talk when I pray. I rather verbalize my thoughts. But I confess readily, together with Psalmist David, there are times I would also prefer silence. And sometimes I force silence upon myself. Just as David said. In verse 1 we read David as saying, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. He said, one of the situations when I will keep my tongue silent is when wicked are around. Because they don't appreciate my thanksgiving to God. They don't appreciate my confession of sins. I'd rather be silent. And then he said in verse 2, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. The other time he would keep silent is when he is in deep sorrow. He has no mood to talk. He has no mood to engage in any conversation. He would rather be silent. I just returned from Ethiopia after 2 weeks of mission trip. I just came back last night. And we were in Ethiopia for about 16 days, preaching God's word. Because by the grace of God, we have a mission station in Ethiopia. While I was there, after preaching last Sunday's message, I suddenly fell sick. I had a very difficult time breathing. I don't know what happened to me. I'm alive, I feel strong, but breathing difficulty. Later I said, oh, maybe it's because Addis Ababa, the capital city of Ethiopia, is on the top of a mountain range. Probably because of that. But by the evening time, I started to cough, and I have very sticky phlegm, and it filled my chest, and I find it even more difficult to talk because I'm losing my voice, and I'm getting very weak, and in the night I'm supposed to preach another sermon, and Monday was a public holiday, and they arranged a teaching conference where I had to preach 3 sermons on Monday. I said, if I'm going to go on like this, there's no way I'm going to preach because I'm getting very sick. I prayed to the Lord for a little strength that will help me to be there on the pulpit and say the things that the Lord has given to me to preach. The Lord helped me through Sunday. Monday came, I feel like vomiting, nauseating. I was so tired, weak. I had to preach 3 sermons. Early in the morning, I was struggling. I told my wife, who was with me, look, I don't think I'm feeling well. Please tell the deacon who was with me to get ready to preach the next 3 sermons. And I was about to put him into a fiery furnace. But he said to me, Pastor, don't worry. I knew you may not be well. So last night and this morning, the Lord gave me a message. I meditated upon it. I'm ready. I will do my best. Nonetheless, I told him, look, I'm not yet ready to give it up. You just wait. You just wait by the side. If I have strength, I will preach. So I just managed to go to the church. By the grace of God, all the 3 sermons were preached. But that was a real tough battle. At the end of it, I became very sick. Became so sick that I can't even eat or drink anything. Wednesday, the deacon preached. It was his turn to preach anyway. So praise God. Thursday, they were going out to see some places. I told my wife and children and other mission team members, you all go. I will stay back and rest. So my wife said, no, I better don't go because you are sick. I will stay back. I said, no, you go. I just want some silence and quietness. I don't want anybody around. She said, don't worry, I won't talk to you. I will pray for you. I said, that's fine. You go and enjoy. The children are alone. You better go with them. So I force her to go with the team. And I stayed back. Mine, after they left, I regretted I sent my wife away because I was feeling very sick. I can't breathe. If I move a few steps to pick up something and I take it and come back, I'm probably experiencing altitude sickness, as they call it. But I was very sick. And I became so sick, I thought I won't make it. I don't know for what reason. And I became quite troubled in my heart. I said, Lord, did you bring me all the way to Ethiopia to kill me here? Is it the end of my life? And I was quiet. I wanted to be quiet. But my friends, when we force silence upon ourselves because of disappointments, if you're a godly man, I can tell you something, just as David says here. Your silence will lead you to a great commotion within your heart. Sometimes silence is the result of commotions within our heart. We don't know what to do. We are upset. We are troubled. But thank God, in the midst of commotion as well as silence, it may appear to be a great paradox. You still have something to lean upon. It is our God. I was dumb, says David, with silence. I held my peace, even from good. You don't want to think about anything because you are so troubled. That's why he says in the next phrase, my sorrow was stirred. You know, when your heart is so burdened, stirred with all sorts of troubling thoughts and pain and agony and weakness of your body, you don't want to talk about even good things. Verse 3. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. All the burdens were boiling within him. Suddenly he spoke. He spoke to who? To his wife? To his counselors? To his children? Verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. He talked to his God. Lord! Silence. Silence. But God's children know, in whose heart the blessed Spirit of God works day and night to confirm and to affirm that they are the children of God, can't keep quiet. Because of the stirring of the Holy Spirit within our hearts, we cry out, Abba, Father. Lord, Thou art my everlasting portion. Who else shall I run to? To whom shall I convey or tell my troubles? Lord. Now he's not over his frailties and depression. He's still within his troubled mind. He's still caught up with all the fears and anxieties that is within me. He hasn't told us what they are. But soon you are going to hear, because he is going to tell the Lord all those things. You know, one of the best things I like in my life is to hear godly people praying. I don't know whether you have the same feelings. When godly people pray, especially when they pray with passion in a very intimate way to the Lord, in their intimate moments with the Lord, the words that come out of their mouth are so wholesome. They are so solemn. They also lift up your spirit to trust God. Because they come out of that intimacy, that precious time that they have with their God. Every mother, every father knows how wonderful it is to hear when your children first call you mommy, daddy. 2 weeks ago, just before I went to Ethiopia, one young man in my church sent me an SMS. And he says, "Pastor, you know what? My son just called me daddy." That's his first son. He's so excited. "My son called me daddy." And he sent that message to Pastor. And I said, "Praise the Lord." Truly, the Father in heaven is most delighted to hear us saying out of those silence with such power of trust and faith, "Lord!" You know, some of the greatest prayers, by the way, are not long and eloquent prayers. They are short. They may be brief, but they're very powerful. When Peter was singing in the Galilee Sea, what did he pray? He didn't pray 15 minutes of pastoral prayer like what I do in the church. It was a short prayer. "Lord, save me!" The hand of the Lord came forth to stretch him, to pull him out of the water. Here he says, "Lord." And then he pours out the thoughts that were burning within his mind. What were they? About the frailties of man. He says, "Make me to know my end." You know his end is coming. He said, "Lord, bring it up soon. Bring it on. Bring the end quickly. Tell me when it is. Don't tell me how long I'm going to live on this earth, but tell me how quick my end would come. Because I can't bear these burdens anymore. It's better that I will die and be in your presence, so these sorrows will come to an end." You know, great men of God in the trouble has prayed such prayer. "Lord, please, take me home." You know, the great prophet Elijah said that. He ran into the wilderness and said, "Lord, enough. I'm not better than my fathers. It's enough. I can't take this anymore." Some of us, of course, would pray, "Lord, come quickly, because I'm in trouble." Well, nothing wrong about it. But of course, we won't take our life. The Lord must do that. Job said, "Even though he slay me, yet I will trust him." Yes, we are not afraid of death. If these troubles would bring my death, then let it be. But we want to make sure it is the Lord who brings the end. That's why Job said, "Even though he slay me," not another, not myself, but the Lord brings an end, then that's fine. "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. This is not my home." Everything that happens in our life reminds us this is not our home. We are just strangers here. At our best in this world, we are nothing but frail people. Because of the sins of our lives, because of the sins that fills this world, this is a terrible place. You know, sometimes we are very happy and celebrating the good things that came our way. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Yes, God fills our lives with benefits, but let's don't forget, it's because of His benefits that we survive the frailties of this life. Just because we have received many benefits and because good things are piled up in our lives, don't think we are strong people on our own. So it is sometimes good that God sends terrible moments in our lives, because it makes us realize how frail we are. We live a day because the Lord has given us the strength. We ate that bread, or we had a good meal in a restaurant because the Lord gave it to me. In the midst of a plenty, we forget how weak we are. We take God's benefits and add to our credit and say, look, not bad, I'm a rich man to eat in a big restaurant. Oh, I'm strong, so I ran 3 kilometers today. Then stand in front of the mirror and flex your muscles. Well, I'm pretty. Look at my face. My first son is now 13 years old. Suddenly his face had many pimples. And he comes to me, Daddy, how long will these pimples will be on my forehead? I said, as long as the Lord wants. Huh? He wants to look handsome. He said, all right, you are a handsome boy. Never mind about pimples. It tells you you are nothing. The consequences of sin. The frailties of man. Thank God for some pimples in young people's face. It tells us how weak we are. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. Those people who sell clothes, they measure the clothes by inches and yards so meticulously. The Lord also gives to you your days measured. Please remember this. God has given you days measured. It will not be increased, not even one day. And it will not be decreased, not even by 1 second. Exactly as God has determined. And that's all. And we have to be prepared to live all those days that God has measured out to us. It can be like Reverend Peter Clemens, who said, for last 4 years, he has been struggling. But look, doctors said that he would die by 2003, but he didn't. Why? Because the Lord has measured out more days. It can be through tough times. It can be through pains. It can be through sorrows. But praise God, we have a God who measured our days, and we can go to Him in our frailties and say, Lord, You have measured my days. You know how frail I am. If you have measured 2 more days, then please be with me. I don't have the strength to go that long. 2 days, too long. Some of you want to live long, good. But let me remind you, you don't have the strength to run that race on your own. That's why at the end of verse 4, the psalmist said, that I may know how frail I am. May the Lord open our eyes. You know, testimonies of people who go through many sorrows would normally cause us to say, thank you, Lord, that you have preserved me from such sorrow. That is okay, that's fine, that's good. But also, let those testimonies of brethren who suffer make you realize how frail you are. You are no better than them. And then trust God. Humble yourself and cling on to Him. Verse 5, behold, he says to the Lord, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. How long is handbreadth? Stretch your fingers. Before God, our life is as nothing. Verily, verily, it says at the end of verse 5, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, nothing, empty, futile, worthless. Oh Lord, how fast my life goes. You know, I told you when I was in Ethiopia, I suffered all those things. And I said, Lord, 43 years. If this is the end, What have I done? Lord, I wish I can come back again to this place and see this church growing. I baptized about 7 people. And now the church, which was 2 years old, has about 20 people. And they are praying, working hard. And they say, Lord, can I see a few more souls being saved? You know, one of the songs that have been a great encouragement in the work of the Lord was the hymn, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Those first words have been making me pray that prayer. Oh Lord, let me see 1,000 souls being saved and singing. You know, I'm a fisherman of souls. Which fisherman like to go into the sea and come back empty-handed? He spreads his net and look for fish, nothing. Or he throws the fishing net in the sea for 20 years and he counts them 100 fish. Well, I don't think that fisherman is a happy fisherman. No, I'm not talking about, you know, great numbers for the sake of having great numbers. But as a preacher, I preach 2 things. Lord, help me to be faithful and fruitful. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. So when I was so tired and sick, I said, Lord, is that all? Is that all? How I brought home the work that you have sent me to do? Have I finished? Lord, is it the end? So short. Life is like a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Again he says to God in confession, verse 6, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Now here he talks about people who strive for wealth in this world. You know, some people are troubled, not for righteousness' sake, but for wealth's sake. They are busy making money. In the short life they have, they live as though money is everything to them. If they can't make 50 cents more, they get very frustrated. They're very unhappy. If somebody overcharges you by 50 cents, you get very agitated. You must go back and complain to everybody in the family and say, you know, that fellow charged me another 50 cents. But if you make another 50 cents, you're very happy. Ah, I made another 50 cents. You know, the life is full of struggle, and sometimes when we look at the way people work for money, it's really a comedy and a tragedy. Because they are after things that matters nothing at the end. Can a rich man say, oh, how powerful I am when he faces death? Can he buy one more second with all the money he has acquired? Can he make sure where all the money he has acquired will go? No. He is in a total loss and mess. What is it, my friends? What is life then? And he concludes, verse 7, with this statement. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. This world is nothing to me, Lord. If this will bring me to my end, then I will rather face it and cherish it because I have a hope beyond the end of this life on earth. And that's in thee. Thou art my possession, eternal portion, and that's all I need. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Can a rich man say, for to me to live is money and to die is gain? No, because money won't be there. It's only those who live for Christ can say at the end, I will have him for all eternity. Money will not be there. The power that this world offers will not be there. But Christ. the eternal glory of our soul. Since he concluded that life is nothing but full of frailty and nothingness, and God is everything that he should cherish, he suddenly breaks forth into another session of prayer. Let's quickly look at it. Verse 8 to 13. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct me, when thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Suddenly he says, O Lord, when I look at the way you correct men, how you chastise them with difficulties and sorrows, how you purify man with trials that you send, all that I want to say is not about my own righteousness, but your graciousness that would forgive me. So he says, deliver me from all my transgressions. You know, my dear friend, you may be going through some trials of your own. You may be asking, Lord, why should you treat me like this? What have I done that you may treat me like this? Why would God allow such trials to me? Oh, dear child of God, He's a loving Father. He sometimes scourges us because He loves us, because He doesn't want us to perish in our sins. He wants to get rid of every little so-called small sins that you have lulled into sleep in your life. You accommodated them by saying, oh, it's a small sin. It's not a big deal. But the Lord hates it. Sin is sin. He is holy. He wants you to be pure. So in your trials, in your chastisements that God sends, whatever it may be, remember your purification is His desire, that you may be conformed to the image of His dear Son. And so, in our troubles, when we have no strength to talk because of opposition, when we have no more mood to talk to people because of the sorrows that fill our heart, let's go to our Lord and tell Him we are nothing. We have no strength, neither spiritual nor physical of our own. He must help us. Like the hymn writer said, I must tell Jesus, all my cares, all my needs. Let's go to Him. He's waiting to hear you. He's ready to work on you. He hasn't finished that. That's why you are not dead. Praise God. So if you have any strength at all to think, to say something in your heart, you may not be able to shout it out, but if you can communicate by the strength of the Holy Spirit that is still within you, then say this to your Lord. Verse 12 to 13. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength, before I go hence and be no more. You know, if you think your time is coming to an end, it's always good to ask Him, Lord, one more time that I may praise Thee. Just one more time. To praise You. Before I go hence. Anyway, we are not going to be here for long. We won't be here for long. But the purpose of our life on this earth is to glorify our God. Ask for that grace, and you will be satisfied. Every soul that has known Jesus Christ as his Savior and has appreciated this great the great privilege of being his children would love to praise God. If you ask a child of God, what is the last thing you want to do with the last breath you have, what would you say? I think I would say, praise the Lord. He has helped me. So let's ask for that strength we need. Day by day, with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. We face them for the glory of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I am weak, but thou art strong. And we thank you that thou art strong. If you are not strong, who do we have in this world and beyond? If you are not our life, in death, what hope do we have? If you are not our strength, how shall we spend another day? Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for your word. Bless us continually with the knowledge of your word. In Jesus' name we pray.